Deutsche Welle, Africa Link.
It's 7:05 in Accra, Ghana, and 8:05 in Lagos, Nigeria. Good morning, wherever you are, and welcome to Africa Link with me, Abubakar Jallo. Coming up, Cameroon urges its citizens to form more vigilante groups to fend off any potential Boko Haram attacks.
Boko Haram a gardé une grande capacité de nuisance.
Boko is becoming a serious nuisance, menacing the population more than ever before with the use of suicide bombers, burning and looting.
A Kenyan court is shortly to decide whether striking teachers should call off a nationwide industrial action, but a trade union is standing firmly with the teachers.
We are not only showing solidarity to teachers union, we will show solidarity to any other union in this country who we think has come out rightly to fight for their rights.
We will also be going to Burkina Faso and Northern Ghana. All that right here on Africa Link. Stay tuned.
Top story.
Cameroon is urging its citizens to expand coordinated vigilante groups that can fend off any potential Boko Haram assault in their territories. The move came after 24 people were killed in the last few days. The Nigerian militant group Boko Haram has been carrying out many attacks in Cameroon, including the burning of villages and the slaughtering of civilians. From Yaoundé, Moki Kinseka filed this report.
Young men armed with machetes and knives proclaim in song their decision to protect their town Kolofata on Cameroon's northern border with Nigeria's Borno State from Boko Haram insurgents. They are responding to calls by Cameroon's Defense Minister, Edgar Aleme Bengo, for more vigilante committees to be created.
Boko Haram a gardé une grande capacité de nuisance.
Boko is becoming a serious nuisance. I'm asking all Cameroonians, especially in the border zones, to be members of vigilant committees and collaborate with the military.
Avec les forces de défense et de sécurité.
The plea came after Sunday's suicide bomb attacks that left 9 people dead and 24 wounded in the Cameroon border town of Kolofata. The governor of Far North Cameroon, Mijiyawa Bakari, says there could have been more casualties if a local vigilante group did not detect 2 male teenage suicide bombers and a 12-year-old girl.
Je saisis cette occasion pour saluer l'action.
I am congratulating the vigilante committee whose courage reduced the shock of the Boko Haram attack, and I am inviting everyone to emulate their example. The government's message for everyone to contribute in crushing the terrorist group is being adhered to, and Cameroon's President Paul Biya is happy.
Kolofata has been repeatedly targeted by the Nigeria-based Islamic extremist group Amitu Fuman, says that is the reason he joined one of the vigilante committees to report all suspects.
The latest success story we had was on Sunday when we detected 2 strange teenage boys and a girl dressed like a Muslim in our town. They pretended to be fetching water from a stream, and when some members of our group went to search them, the girl detonated a bomb, killing some of us. Many more people would have died should the suicide bombers have had access to the market, church and mosque they targeted.
In the 7 attacks reported in 5 recent days from villages in northern Cameroon, 24 people, including 15 assailants, were killed, 40 injured, and 15 attackers arrested. Cameroon soldiers said they seized a lot of guns with not as much ammunition as they used to carry, suggesting that supplies had reduced since Cameroon, Chad, Nigeria, Benin and Niger started making sure that all possible supply routes were blocked.
Moki Kinseka reporting. For more on that topic, Jimam Lahr, a fellow at the Bayreuth International School of Social Sciences, has been talking to my colleague Assumpta Latus about the effectiveness of vigilante groups in Nigeria in the fight against Boko Haram there.
In some cases, we find that state failures, gaps left by the state, and citizens mobilize. But in some cases, as is the case with Cameroon, the state itself actively mobilizes citizens. To an extent, it's effective, but also it has its challenges. I would say the idea is that these are people who are within the community, who know these individuals, and who are able to really engage them. But what do they engage them with? I mean, most of the vigilantes have sticks and machetes, and, you know, so the weapons itself cannot be matched. But I think they are very critical in terms of local information, and in this sense, collaboration with the government, with the state, it's always useful.
Are you worried that these groups could actually take up the role of the army in Cameroon?
Yes, we could look at it and say we are concerned because the army itself, the country, is soliciting for assistance of citizens to deal with the situation. But we could also see it in a positive sense as the army trying to mobilize or the country mobilizing the population to support their effort. I think we have to wait and see what kind of role these vigilantes are expected to play.
What kind of challenges do you foresee in creating such kind of groups?
When governments transform such groups, there are tendencies that such groups could have excesses. I give you the example of the Bokassi Boys in southeastern Nigeria, who were formed by a group of shoemakers in Aba Market. Over a period of time, they began to abuse human rights. What is critical is supervision, oversight. The government cannot take its eyes off such groups because you have to remember what kind of training do they have? What kind of laws are they operating with? What's the legal framework that they operate with?
Speaking about the human right abuses, actually there have been some cases of right abuses by these groups against local communities. How true are these allegations?
There are allegations, but if you read the report, there are also allegations of human rights abuses by the armies themselves. So I think it's important to point out individuals who are responsible, investigate, and let such individuals be prosecuted. It is not a case of if we find abuses and it's proven, then we should squash the whole idea or forsake the whole process.
About the Nigerian vigilante groups, are there any positive lessons that Cameroon can learn from them?
The Nigerian vigilantes in Maiduguri were nicknamed civilian JTF. JTF is the acronym for the army formation that is fighting the insurgency. And the army has the wisdom to realize how effective these groups were and to collaborate with them. The lessons that I think Cameroon can learn is that these individuals from these communities have information, they have intelligence, they also know the terrain, you know. So I think the army can collaborate in that sense. But again, the prime responsibility for fighting counterinsurgency is that of the armed forces. We have to really, really underline this point.
Jim Amlar speaking from Bayreuth in Germany.
Get the stories that are shaping the continent here on Africa Link.
Now, teachers in Kenya have rejected calls to abandon a nationwide strike pushing for a pay rise. They say they will continue boycotting classes until their demands are met. One of Kenya's trade unions, KOTU, had threatened to join the strike in solidarity with the teachers, but eventually postponed it. In a few hours from now, a Kenyan judge will decide whether the teachers should call off their industrial action. But KOTU's acting Secretary General Benso Okwaro tells me KOTU will also call for an industrial action if their teachers are forced to end the strike without meeting to their demands.
Well, I think that one to me is an obvious issue because we are the most representative trade union center in this country. And as you are aware, there are two teacher unions in this country. One of them is NAT, the other one is KUPET. KUPET is an affiliate of KOTU. So for that reason, we are involved. Then, too, we also believe as trade union leaders that an injury to one is an injury to all. So we cannot leave a Kenyan worker to suffer just because we are not part of the trade union congress.
The Teachers Service Commission, TSC, the body that employs teachers, has taken the Kenyan Teachers Union note to court and a judge is to decide on Tuesday whether the strike should continue. KOTU is also threatening to strike if the teachers are prevented from downing their tools. Why is it important for your organization to show solidarities with this teachers' union?
As we have said, we are not only showing solidarity to teachers' union, we will show solidarity to any other union in this country who we think has come out rightly to fight for their rights.
And how do you intend to react should the TSC does succeed in ending the strike?
You see, as we have said, when we suspended our strike on Saturday, we said we have respect to the rule of law. And so if the Federation of Kenya Employers went to court to stop the strike, we did honor the court order. And the case is coming up for hearing. If in the event that the court rules that we are legitimate, then we shall mobilize all other Kenyan workers to give support to teachers. It is important because we cannot allow workers who have gone through the process. They have gone through the process, up to the highest level of court and the beginning award. If we allow that, it means the government will create a precedent where they will do it to any other person.
But the Kenyan government has insisted that it does not have enough money to pay the teachers. Does your trade organization, KOTU, think that the government can afford to increase teachers' pay?
Well, one, let us understand that the government has an obligation to pay teachers well. That is one. They must pay teachers well. So are they telling us that the 16,000 shillings that they're paying teachers today is enough? That is one question that they need to answer. Two, we have seen the government coming out and rescuing companies who have collapsed and paying them money. We have seen money being reserved. We have seen the MCAs being paid money. We have seen members of parliament being paid money. Why not teachers? Is it just because they are not their third-class Kenyan citizens?
Well, do you not think that this might also lead to other government agencies to demand more salaries if the teachers actually win this battle against the government?
The demand for salaries is a right for Kenyans under the current Kenyan constitution. They have the right to fair remuneration. And they all don't demand at the same time. Each person has their own collective bargaining and it comes at different times. So I don't see any logic that if they give teachers, then civil servants will also demand. But if they demand and it's their right, then why not?
Benson Okwaro, and you're listening to Deutsche Welle's Africa Link, coming to you from Bonn, Germany.
Africa on the move.
In Africa on the move this week, we go to Burkina Faso and meet a civil rights activist, Osibi Johan. Osibi was one of the driving forces behind the protest in Burkina Faso last year, which ousted President Blaise Compaoré. His story by Gerlin Folma is now presented by Eunice Wanjiru.
In the studio of Ouagadougou's Horizon FM radio station, Osibi Johan dances and sings to the beats coming from his headphones. It's airtime. At the microphone, the reggae man and civil rights activist can give his thoughts free rein.
I use this program to get my message across to people. Here I can express myself freely. For me, radio is the voice of freedom.
For Burkina, Osibi has come to embody this freedom, along with the rapper Smokey, the reggae artist Sam's Kileja, and other musicians. Osibi is a prominent voice of the youth-led movement Les Balais Citoyens. True to its name, which translates as the citizen's broom, the group gained popularity for helping to sweep Burkina's president Blaise Compaoré out of power last year, after he had tried to extend his 27-year rule. Balais Citoyens was inspired by a Senegalese youth group calling itself Yéna Mar, or We Are Fed Up. Yéna Mar had launched a successful Get Out and Vote campaign to thwart former Senegalese President Abdoulaye Wade's bid for a third term in 2012. Balais Citoyens and Yéna Mar have linked up with other African youth groups, pushing for good governance and a respect for basic freedoms. Earlier this year, the Congolese intelligence service imprisoned several of their members in Kinshasa after they attended a civil rights congress. The event was organized by a Congolese youth group called Filimbi, which is also trying to encourage young people to get involved in politics. Today, Osibi is meeting up with the Senegalese civil rights activists in Ouagadougou.
We met in a hotel in Congo. They said they were from Yéna Mar. I was excited to get to know them. We then did the conference together and ended up in jail together. Today is the first time we are meeting again.
Osibi has invited them to attend a meeting of local citizens group. Feeling honored to have international visitors, the group greets them with Balais Citoyens' battle cry. Yéna Mar was founded in 2011 by two rappers and this man,
the journalist for Del Barro.
It has to be possible to do away with slavery. We have done that. It has to be possible to end colonization. The Africans have done that. And it also has to be possible to stop those presidents who want to stay in power forever.
That report was compiled by Gerlin Vollmer. If properly managed, forests can provide jobs and homes for wildlife. They also reduce carbon dioxide in the atmosphere, consequently preventing global warming. But as the world is grappling with new measures to stop global warming, illegal logging has been on the stark increase. Between 2000 and 2012, Africa alone lost more than 3 million hectares of land. But not all hope is lost. An organization in Tanzania has been informing local communities on how to preserve their forest. Happiness Matanji has more.
The United Nations Environment Programme report of 2014 suggests that well-managed forests are a fundamental economic resource for livelihoods. In Africa, forests cover some nearly 700 million hectares. That is about 23% of the continent's land. Financially, ecosystem services from Tropical Forests alone contribute about $6,000 per hectare each year. Illegal logging does not only have enormous environmental effects, it also results in loss of the revenue for the government. Engineer James Ngeleja from National Environmental Management Council, NEMC, explains some of the associated effects.
Illegal logging has a lot of, but mainly, as I said, deforestation, loss of biodiversity. And when it is illegal, that means it's not paid for, you lose revenue in that way.
In Tanzania, government is cooperating with non-governmental organizations such as the Forest Stewardship Council, FSC, to address the illegal logging. FSC specifically works with local communities and companies involved in woodworks. Together with other stakeholders, FSC's work concentrates on sensitizing people on best practices regarding forest management and preservation. FSC was established in 1993 to promote responsible management of the world's forest through standard setting, certification, and labeling of forest products. Mpingo Conservation and Development Initiatives, MCDI, is one of the beneficiaries of FSC's work. It has become Tanzania's first community organization to gain forest management skills, having been certified by FSC. Jasper Makala, chief executive of MCDI, says there is a need to create more awareness in order to prevent illegal logging. Through the forest skills that MCDI got from FSC, their products have gained more reputation and their sales have increased. They have been able to support community initiatives such as building boreholes and primary schools.
We are using FSC to market the forest products or the timber coming from this community. And the other thing also, FSC has brought credibility as an organization as well as to the community who are under FSC group scheme, because we are known internationally as among those forests here being managed responsibly.
From the community side, Adam Mwarabu, representative of Parokio Pastoralist Indigenous Community Development Organization, says the coming of FSC has motivated them to continue taking care of the forest. He believes that, combined with other measures, something positive can come out.
This standard, even if they are good, they need support from the wider community, because we have domestic laws as well as international laws.
The 2010 report from UN Food and Agriculture Organization, as well as Global Forest Resources Assessment, has mentioned that Tanzania has 33 million hectares of forest and woodland, but the country has been losing more than 400,000 hectares of forest a year for two decades now.
Happiness Matanji with that report.
Making a difference.
In In making a difference, we go to northern Ghana, where the use of contraceptives to prevent pregnancy is now a controversial topic. Women who use the drug say they have suffered unpleasant side effects, ranging from excessive bleeding to heart diseases. Maxwell Sook has been following an advocacy group that is campaigning in favor of the pills to prevent unwanted pregnancies, and here is his report.
Helena Yimpoka is sitting under a mango tree. Birds chim loudly above her, but she is not distracted. Helen's only problem right now is the high blood pressure she developed after using birth control pills.
They said it helps to space birth, and I took it. I used it, and now this is the result.
Helen says the doctors didn't explain the side effects of the methods to her.
It is their fault. If they had told me about all the effects, I wouldn't have taken it, but they didn't tell me, so I blame the doctors.
Other users say they have also experienced various side effects, but experts say such claims are misconceptions. Leonard Goba works with Marie Stope International, one of the family planning institutions in Ghana.
There are a lot of myths around family planning. People say that when you take family planning, you will not be able to have children again. People say when you take a family planning method, it will disrupt your sexual activity. You will grow fat. But I'm saying on authority that all those misconceptions are unfounded. When you come to any clinic that provides family planning, they will allay all your fears.
The promotion of pills and other birth control methods in Ghana is part of an ongoing effort to achieve at most an average of 4 births per woman. Ghana's Population Council backs this initiative. Its head in the northern region is Chief Amadou Al-Hassan.
Contraceptives are very, very, very important. It helps you to be able to control pregnancies that are likely to be unintended. We should consciously plan to have good spacing that will limit the number of children that will have smaller family size norm. Is what we are asking for at this particular moment.
Having sexual intercourse every other day using this method.
Grace Atabin is an advocate against contraceptives. She is taking a class with married couples, teaching them about natural family planning methods. Grace says it is not safe to use artificial birth control methods.
It is good to use natural family planning. It's natural. You don't interrupt your body function with anything artificial. You just observe how your body works and you use it. You don't take in anything that you can react to it.
I spoke to some of the women in this class and found there were divergent views about contraceptive use.
My religion is against the use of contraceptives. As a committed Christian, I certainly will not go for that.
I'm aware of the side effects when you use the contraceptives, and I don't think that I'm ready to go through that.
I don't see any problem with the contraceptives. I advise people to go for that.
If Ghana is to reach the demographic target of attaining smaller families by reducing births with the use of contraceptives, it must be prepared to invest more in education and advice for the women taking part.
Maxwell Sook in Tamale, Ghana.
Want to see Africa in pictures? Don't miss DW News, Deutsche Welle's new TV channel. DW, Deutsche Welle, made for minds.
And now a summary of what we've been covering. Cameroon is urging its citizens to form more vigilante groups to fend off potential Boko Haram attacks. A Kenyan court is shortly to decide whether teachers should call off a nationwide strike demanding pay rise. And we've also been hearing about a movement in Burkina Faso which tries to link up with other youth movements in Africa. There we come to the end of this broadcast. For questions and comments, send us a text message to +491 60 957 59510, an email to feedback.africa@dw.com, or a letter to Africa Link, DW 53110, Bonn, Germany. It's been a real pleasure beginning your day with Africa Link. And until tomorrow, my name is Abubakar Jallo. Have a wonderful day.